Heavenly Father, we do adore you, and we are here to worship you in truth and in spirit, and focus, God, our hearts and our minds on what is real, what is eternal, your kingdom. Jesus, thank you that you love us so much, that you would go to the cross for us, and at that moment, with eternity in the balance, you forgave us. You paid the price for our sin. We love you, Jesus. That is amazing love. Thank you that you love us that much. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and minister in power. Come and restore us from the inside out. But these are your people called by your name. They're men and women of faith. And I know many have been working at the food bank all day, and others have other responsibilities and working. So God, I pray you would give us supernatural energy and capacity tonight, an unusual aptitude that Daniel and his young friends had. God, we want to walk in our callings, in our original designs, what you say about us. So Holy Spirit, come tonight and minister in power and in Jesus' love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Good to see everyone. It's our kind of Thursday midweek family night. I don't have a lot of announcements, but a couple things I want you to be mindful of. Number one is this Sunday, we're going to have our blessing tunnel. Remember, I mentioned that. And so, yeah, if you can get somebody here, they will be blessed. We'll end the service with that, get some encouragement, some prophetic words. And seems like there was one other announcement. I can't remember what it. Okay, the men's breakfast is not this Saturday, right, but a week from this Saturday. They're changing their time so the guys can sleep in a half hour. Actually, they're changing the time, yeah, to match the gals and to actually shorten the gap before outreach. So it's just going to move to 9:30. So, and we'll talk about that more on, yeah, that's right. We've got an extra half hour to sleep in. But it will be matching with what the gals do and coordinated. So more on that. So, okay. Here's the main announcement for us Thursday night group. And I'm going to say this Sunday too. A week from tonight is our open mic night, which what I mean by that I want to hear from you, especially prophetic words, insights. Many of you had been doing a little extra prayer, a little extra fasting this month, and I just think it's been an environment that's been conducive for the Lord to speak, and we hear in part and see in part, so that means that we need to come together and hear all those individual parts. And as we hear those individual parts, it happens every month when we do this, a picture emerges. So please be prepared for that next Thursday night. I know Des has already shared with me. She's going to share some things with us. And so, don't forget. Hopefully you haven't forgotten for the month, the last 21 days. And next Thursday, I'm looking forward to it. I really want to hear what the Lord is saying. And there's one spirit, right? One church, one baptism, the body of Christ. And so the same Holy Spirit that is in me is the same Holy Spirit that is in you. And very purposefully, the Lord is saying, I'm only going to give you part because I want you to be a body. I want you to work together with other parts of the body. So this is our chance, all right? Don't miss it. That's a week from tonight, next Thursday night. That's going to be our teaching or message part of the service. So Okay, I think I did get all that in, so Pastor Michael, come on up.
One, two, amen. Can we put the song? Okay. We didn't sing this week. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Maybe if I share this, maybe it'll probably mean a little bit different. Tonight, when we sang the Shine, Jesus Shine, and Above All, all these 90s Christian, 90s songs, it really have a special meaning to me, because I just recalled, you know, when I was using, you know, when I was using out there, and especially when I relapsed, and you can have a seat, you can have a seat. When I relapsed, and you know, when you relapse, you have all the emotions in the world coming at you, and then you're a failure, all that, and you know, and then radio, the music will come out, Shine, Jesus, Shine, and then used to touch me, and then it used to frustrate me, you know, because you kind of back and forth, you know, here you are, and it kind of reminded me of back then. I'm going through that emotional roller coaster. Remember Pastor John drew a picture of a little going, not the straight line, but kind of, you know, valleys, and there's a shark, and you know, and all that. But that's what I felt like back then. But all the frustrations, and I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like I'm ever gonna get better. I remember crying. I remember being so frustrated, right? And then there's music. There's Above All, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And then there's the Eagle's Wing, you know. And this, I Love You, Lord. And when I sing that, I Love You, Lord, I felt like Lord was listening to me. Lord was hearing my prayer. Not only worship, right? And that's why I always sing this before I deliver the message, because I feel closer to the Lord. When you tell Him you love the Lord, but you have to mean it, right? Yeah. You have to mean it, right? Don't you think? Not like, I love you, Lord. All right, just 701. And, you know, not like this. Not like this. But really, let's sing just one more time. You can be seated. Let's just sing. It doesn't matter whether you stand or sing, but I think it's important when you mean it. Tell the Lord that you love Him. Shall we? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen, amen. Isn't that better? Amen. All right. Okay. All right. This is not on. Okay, here we go. All right, Romans 12, 9 to 13 through 14. I have a huge chapter and a half, well, actually, almost close to two chapters to cover tonight. So I'm not going to talk fast, but I am going to try to cover what's essential thing that are in these two chapters. So marvelous chapters. And last week we began to talk about, you know, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, what it means, right? And all that, 11 chapters of Romans, God just displayed through the voices of Paul, Apostle Paul, told us that this is what the salvation really is. And there's no other book that describes wonderful and marvelous salvation in depth, in all these different aspects and covering and what God has already accomplished in my life, in our lives. And because of that, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That will be our natural response. Right? That will be like idealistic. I mean, Jesus died for you. Right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? And when you really get that, when you let that sink in your spirit, and what will be your response? Right? I remember singing the song, and I remember praising when I realized the excitements and the wonders of salvation that is in my life, what I just received when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What a wonderful, marvelous privilege that is, and you are sitting in the heavenly places, and you're just, I remember singing and praising and crying and weeping, and Lord, I'm giving you me. I'm giving my life to you. I remember that. But that will be the natural response, right? That will be ideal thing. That will be the normal thing. Like somebody like give you, somebody died for you, and you're saying, so are you going to pay me back that $100 you owe me? It's not like that. It's a different conversation here. So when you are included in the same conversation as what Jesus Christ has done for us, right? That everything. God did not save little things. God just did. God gave us His only begotten Son, right? And above all, sing that, right? And all this, all the praise music and talk about the darling of heaven died for us, right? And when you think about that, we come to Romans chapter 12. Here we're going to cover throughout the chapter 12 and the chapter 13. We're going to basically talk about the three things. But it really is serving one another. It's a new life. It's a result of salvation. Ephesians 2:10. That's funny. That's supposed to be the last one. Anyway, that's supposed to be the first one. All right. Anyway, God wants us to live the transformed life, but not by our own strength. You see, when you give yourself to the Lord, right, the Holy Spirit comes in and He resides in us, and He wants to live out life of like Christ in us, right? Not my life, not my agenda, but His agenda. And Ephesians, this life can only be lived by the Holy Spirit. When giving our lives to the Lord, He gives gifts. That's what chapter 12, verse 3 through 8 talked about. Since Jesus covered some of it, I'm not going to go back, but I'm just going to mention it. It's a prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. So, and use God's given gifts. It is encouraged here. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. Pastor John covers extensively. What is it? It's created. It's a poema, right? Poema. We are His masterpiece, right? If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. It created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should work in them. You know? All right. Romans 12, 9 through 21. I'm not going to read everything because we're going to cover piece by piece here. And love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, it just talks about three things perverse. And what's interesting is it's very realistic. We are talking about real life. We are talking about real struggle. We are talking about real issues. Here, love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. All right, supernatural life we are living here is the practical principles here. And chapter 12 is an amazing, amazing book if you just really get into it and really understand what it is. And this life of walking in freedom, it's not that we are to do whatever we want, right? Right, we are free. I thought we can do whatever we want. It doesn't mean we are free to sin. That doesn't mean we are free to hurt other people. Doesn't mean we are free to, you know, endanger your families or other things. We have principles, right? We have principles. So walking in freedom has principles, so we are free to accept these things. So we went through foundation of a Christian living, which is a salvation. So how do we dedicate our lives? You know, and Book of Ephesians talk about that, you know, from the chapter 4, 5, and 6. And just like that, Paul is explaining what it is to give, what it is giving yourself as a living sacrifice. When your life is given, right? That's the prerequisite here. When your life is dedicated, when your life is a living sacrifice, when you agree to it, or at least what Pastor John talked about, you're willing to be willing. All right, be willing to be willing. All right, if you're not there, all right, I'm willing, Lord. It's very difficult. I said the similar things. You know, reading the verse that righteous man falls seven times. Remember that verse? Righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. So as long as you keep getting up, you can still be righteous. Amen. Right? I don't care. You relapse 495 times, but if you don't get up, man, you're not righteous. Get up, get back up, and go at it again. Amen. It doesn't matter what church people say to you. Well, it doesn't matter what other people of the world say to you. When they tell me that they don't want to see me, when they see me, brings them bad luck in the church. So I don't know why you keep coming back to the church, because I was there every time when the doors open, including the morning service, right? Because I'm desperate. I want to get a hold of the hand of God. I want to have a transformed life. So I decided we're gonna make that through the worship. So I don't care what they're gonna spit in my face. I'm still gonna worship, right? Yeah. That was my attitude. Amen. I don't know about yours, but how do we do that? When you're given yourself as a sacrifice, what does that look like? Well, it's gotta be different, right? Because your normal life is not, I bet you it's not a living sacrifice. But so it's different. So Paul is describing here from 9 through 13, it's a relationship. It's different kind of relationship here. It's personal in the church. Verse 14 to 21, it's relationship through others. And chapter 13 is relationship with authority and government. All right. So far, that was the introduction. So that's what I'm making attempt to cover here tonight. All right. Romans, and at the end of the chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, this is what it says. Do this, knowing the time, and now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but, what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Amen. And I think that sums it all up, right? I want to give you, in case I run out of time, I just want to give you the end bang, the end result, so that, all right, that's the end of chapter 13. All right, this is 9 through 21 here. I'm just going to give it to you again. And they are saying, a lot of within the Christian circle, This is called the Manual for Spiritual Warfare. Manual for Spiritual Warfare in Life. So if you get this, if you apply this in your life specifically, and if you meditate on it, and it's going to help you fight the battle. All right. First, relationship is, it says genuine love, right? Not hypocrisy. Genuine love is what it needs. And abhor which is evil, because God is holy, he cannot tolerate sin. If we are to like Jesus, we shouldn't be either. Not any level. When we were out there, you know, I'm kind of surprised. A lot of Christian people are not really surprised to sin. When they are in the group of mixed, not Christians, but also with unbelievers and, you know, heathen, what other peoples, when you're surrounded and you're not surprised for any curse words and, you know, they don't offend you. Sometimes, a lot of times when they're, during the conversation, I'm trying to lay this on as gentle as possible, not really, but it's really, really difficult. But I think you get the picture though, right? What it's saying here, abhor which is evil means we need to hate evil. Hate evil. Do you accept that in your life? Do you accept some things that you do? You don't hate that? Or do you justify it? So I'm just, we are all weak. We are not perfect. We are just trying to make another day, and yeah, I'm just going at it one step at a time. Whatever it is, right? Like, whatever you're saying to yourself, it's fine. What I'm just saying is, there has to be what God is saying, abhor which is evil. There has to be standard principle in our lives. Apostle Paul says, I do things that I don't want to do. Right? I do things what I hate. And I don't understand that. He says he didn't understand that. But one thing that was very clear, he does things that he hates. So there was a certain things that he knows. This is sin, but after he's done it, the difference is this. Between the Christians and non-Christians, the things that you do when you sin, that ought to shock you. That ought to just put you down on your knee and, Lord, I've done it again. I hate this. That ought to break your heart. That's basically what he's saying here. Abhor which is evil. Right? What's my reactions? Do you say you're a changed person and keep the same sinful relationship? What about things that we do and see? Yeah. You said you're Christian, but what about what is your search record, internet search record looks like, history looks like? Does that look Christian like to you? Do you have the holy standard? Maybe I shouldn't be too specific, right? But I'm doing this. I'm saying this. To just challenge all of us, I think we need to be holy wherever we are, whatever we do. Right? Things that we do, yeah, you can make mistakes. Yeah, you can do, you know, some things that because we fall, we understand that. But what is your reactions? How is your relationship with your own sins and others? You ought to hate that. You hate that to the core. So many people hate the good and love evil. Transformation begins to take place when our minds start to accept the things and approve what that is holy. Okay. And problem is loving sin. That's the thing. That's really where I was, what I was getting at. You know, through the years of trying to get myself clean, I was trying to say to myself, oh, if I only stop doing drug, I'll be okay. Right? If I just, stop doing these things and I'll be perfect. Oh, so something like that. Oh, I never really said that. But, you know, but when I walk in this Christian life and given to the call and looking back and really trying to understand what it was that really made me fall and accept the things, like going into the such a level to like drugs and such a sinful place, and I didn't feel any guilt for it. When you are at it, when you are in abusive relationship with a drug and other things that you do, what's happening in your life, in your own spiritual core, is you are numb to the sin. Sin doesn't do anything to you. You don't feel guilty. Anything. But we ought to be like, when that happened, we ought to be like David before Prophet Nathan. He fell on his knees and, "Search me, O God, and cleanse me," right? That just broke him. That's what God is saying. This is a man after my own heart. He's able to break down and accept his iniquities and he hates those sins. And throughout the Psalms, and you get that. So problem is loving sin. That's the problem. Because why do people do drugs? Because they love it. They love it more than being clean. Why do people drink? Same thing. Because it'd be like alcohol. Why do people do gambling? Because they love gambling. They love sins. That's what the problem is, main core of it. It's not the drug. It's not the gambling. It's not, you know, not those things. It is a sin. Sin is at the core of it. What is your relationship with sin? Verse 9, cling to what is good. Don't be separated. Right? Think about Psalm 1. Here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, who nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of a scornful, but his delight. Here's the thing. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. If you think about that, right? This man, you get that? This is not, this entire thing is not how to be blessed. Did you get that? It's not the way you get blessed. If you do this, you'll be blessed. No, that's not what it's saying here. It's saying, if you don't walk in the counsel of ungodly, but if you do, if your delight is in the law of the Lord, then you are blessed already. The same thing in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. If you are this, then you look around you. You are already blessed. That's the description of the people in the heavenly places. So if you love what God is all about, if you love being holy, if you love His holiness, if you love His mercifulness, His you know, words, and if you do that, you understand that, then look, if you meditate that day and night, then look, your life is already blessed. No one has to tell you, I think you're blessed. Oh, I know I'm blessed. Right? I know I'm blessed. Right? Brotherly love. The next verse it says Philadelphia. That's the Phileo and Adelphos. And Philadelphia is a brotherly love. Love is primary thing. 1 Corinthians 12 and talks about all spiritual gifts, but I'll show you the more excellent things. And Paul get to the 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Love is all that, right? A more excellent way. That's the love. Love is the more excellent way. Here, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. It says in verse 11, not lagging behind diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. It's a lot there, isn't it? There's a lot there to meditate. And can you see, we can spend like 8 weeks just in these parts. Really, a lot more than that. There's like 21 exhortations here. And if you do this, and if you really want to really get it, there's a lot of resources out there in the internet, and you can really take your time and just look into each one and really have at it, okay? And a lot lagging behind diligence. And now, passionate life here. Do we have a fire in us? It says not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Is serving the Lord, is it tiresome? Is it somebody really have to pay you for it? You know, not in this church, but some Korean church, they have musicians and they have a pianist and conductor, what do you call it? And we had an interview because when our Grace All Nations Church were, before we were closing, we were making an attempt to unite with other churches. So we had a lot of meetings. And they're one of the musicians and conductors, and they were, during the conversation, I found out this guy is very proud that he's being paid in the church. So he asked me, does your conductor gets paid? He says, why is that important to you? And because the professional should be paid. So he was really proud getting paid. I'm not against it or anything, but what I'm saying is, serving the Lord, do you have to be paid? You know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at? I mean, or is it joyful if you just love to be here? I mean, let's say you come to Christmas dinner and serving in the food line, you know, does it make you happy, or say it's one of the drag things because they ask me to? You know, if it is that, then maybe you don't get it yet. If it is a joy, if it's absolute joy, you're tired, yeah. You work all day and serve all day, but if there's a joy inside of you, serving other people, yeah, and that's what should be there, right? It says, verse actually says, not lazy in enthusiasm or zeal. You know, King James says, not slothful in business. So, but our words from the King James days and to now, businesses have a different meanings these days, right? And so the word is spoud, it's in Greek, but it's haste, enthusiasm, it's a zeal. So don't be lazy in God's business. Fervent in spirit, it means boil over. So do you get the pictures? So you ought to have a zeal for it. If you've given your life to the Lord, if your life is different, there ought to be passion to it. Passion. So Paul is writing Romans on the way to Spain in his mind. So you remember that? He was writing in Romans. It says, you know, when I get to Spain, I'm going to visit you guys. This is how the Romans started. Paul, in his mind, he was going to Spain. But on his way to Spain, he's going to stop by in Romans, and he wanted to contribute some spiritual gift to them. And he had whole plan worked out, didn't know the Lord plan. You know, Lord's plan ended there, right? Paul's life ended there. But you see, his passion is unstoppable. This guy wanted to cover the earth on foot. Amazing, amazing guy. Korean Christians. I'm just going to throw that in a little bit. You go to Prayer Mountain, you'll see. When we spent 40 days of the fasting in California and Prayer Mountain, they have a, on top of a mountain, you gotta walk about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, up and to get to the top of the mountain. And then they have, it looks like a doghouse, but it really, you know, it's got little, you know, the roof on it, and it's got a little it boxed in. So what that is, it's all around the top of the mountains. What it is, you go in there in case there's some morning dews, and you know, so you get in there and you pray all night. You pray there. It's a natural air condition. It's winter, it's cold. You know, hot, summer is hot. So you get in there. It's you just pray, and when you visit that prayer mountain, you can hear people screaming, Jesus! You know, during the nighttime, they don't even go to sleep at night. You know, you can hear them screaming, praying. So it's a good thing it's a mountain. There's not too many people live there. You might have some complaints on the way. But it's a fervency. I kind of grew up watching. When I was young, I see the old lady at the church. When they pray in front of the church, before the altar. You know, it's not carpeted back then. There's no carpet. It's just a wooded, hardwood floor. When they pray, the places where these ladies prayed, and they had little dent in them, and on the floor. You know what that is? Because they knelt down so much, it dented the wooden floor there. There's a little dents all over. I watched them as I grew up. You know, that's fervency there. You love to pray, asking the Lord, and they come. Well, some of them had a hood, like a little cloth on top of their head. And why do they have it? Because their husband shaved the wife's head, so that the wives don't go out to the church anymore. That's used to be the Korean people. You know, they used to persecute their wives that way. She's crazy. Don't you go back to church like that? And they shave her head. And what does she do? She put a towel on top of her head. She comes and she pray, Lord, save my husband. That's fervency. That's fervency. All right, relationship to others. All right, now I gotta go. All right, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In verse 17, 18, this section is called really a spiritual warfare. I want you to know this because now we know that Satan is judged, right? We know the end result of Satan, correct? We know he's already judged. We know he's going to be burned in lake of fire forever, but sentence has not been carried out yet. So he's still attacking the saints. He's still out there trying to attack me and you and other people. So in 1 John 5, 9, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So in Old Testament, it's eye for an eye. Now, I just put Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, 18, our church verse. We compare these two, right, these two sections. And just want you to pay attention to this one. And the day of vengeance of our God, Isaiah 61 is there, but in Luke 4, it's not there. Luke 4, the day of vengeance is not there. What do you think that is? Because the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God did not give us the power to avenge our enemies. Let me just say this again. God did not give us power and authority to avenge our own. That's right. So when you, if you have an enemy, if you have enemies, or plural, then vengeance is not yours. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not yours. Galatians 3:7-9 says, therefore know that only those who are faith are sons of Abraham. Then the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So what it means, if you are a believer, if you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you are seed of Abraham. Is that correct? Three people said yes.
Yes.
All right. If you're Christians, you are the seed of Abraham by faith. So all those blessings of Abraham is yours. You believe that? When God blessed Abraham, what did he say? I will bless those who bless you. And what? Curse those who curse you. So let's say, just the argument's sake, those are called enemies. Your enemies are Christian. Can that happen? Sadly, yeah, it happens sometimes. But what if you curse them? What's going to happen to you? Yeah, it's good. It's like this, right? Did you know when you point your finger? You heard that, right? When you point finger at someone, the three of them pointing back at you. It's the same thing. It's really, really what's happening there. It's the spiritual principles. So when the Bible says, to verse 21, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome with good. Right. So that's chapter 12 here. And never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. All right. Romans 13. All right, we are going fast. I really like to spend like two Thursday night on that sections. Really, really would like to do that. But all right, we can come back to this. Now, third is a relationship and authority and government, chapter 13. Now, you and I need to know, the devil does not have authority over me. Do you believe that? Amen. He doesn't have authority over me. Yeah. So what he does, what he chooses to do is trying to confuse you, put doubts in you, put some impression in your heart, thoughts in your mind, and saying, see, you have always failed. You're going to fail again. If you hear that coming spring from your mind, then do what Pastor John always does. Cut, sever in Jesus' name. Yeah. Right. Don't accept that. Just like what Dave said, yeah, taking every thought captive, it's very, very important. Through media and culture. And now, here, this is supposed to come one at a time, but I guess the animation's off when we copy it here. Let me just say this. In our lives, everywhere you go, there's authority. And I've actually heard some teenager told me, I hate what my parents always trying to tell me what to do, so I'm going to join the Marine. So I said, you actually said that. I can't believe I heard that. You think your parents were bad, but the relationship with authority is so important. It's called, what we have in this world is called, repeat after me, delegated authority. Delegated. Everything we have is delegated authority. Your power and authority over your children are delegated from the Lord. Always need to remember that. Sometimes we forget children are our own, but they're not, right? They're not. They are created by God for you to take care of. Delegated authority. So everywhere we go, schools, teachers, you know, the home is our parents, church, our church, authorities of who? Pastor John, right? Pastor John is a delegated authority in this church. So we need to understand that and recognize that. Always do that. And when you have the healthy relationship with authority, then God will give you the power and authority, more delegated authority in your life. Now, the thing is, there's things that we need to listen to, things that we don't, we should be opposed to. Bible says here, and if I just paraphrase some part of chapter 13, you need to submit to the authority, to the government. That's what Bible's saying. Submit, obey. And it doesn't mean obey what's non-biblical, clearly against God's command. No, don't obey. We should fight unto the death. But if the government has punishment for that, then yeah, you should accept that. You should accept that punishment as obeying. That's what the friends of Daniel did. They didn't obey the king Nebuchadnezzar's command to worship idol, but obey to go into the fiery furnace, right? Daniel did not obey the decree of the king to stop worshiping God, right? Because you shouldn't pray to the Lord anymore. You shouldn't pray to any other God but the God what Nebuchadnezzar sets forth, right? Did Daniel obey that? No. But he obeyed going into the end result of the lion's den. Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1 says, king says, Pharaoh is the ultimate authority at that time. He says, midwives, you need to kill if it is a boy. If it's a girl, yeah, save him. Deliver him, good. But if it is a boy, you need to kill him. But midwife did not obey that, right? Save all the boys, God gave them kind of wits. Oh, when I get there, they were already delivered. So we did not have an opportunity, king. So, and God, you know what? The Bible says God blessed them because of that. Because they did not obey clearly against what God wants, God blessed them. So God dealt with them. It says, verse 21, it says, therefore God dealt well with the midwife, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because of the midwives feared God that he provided household for them. There you go. That's the word here. Feared God. Old Testament says that's the beginning of the wisdom. Thank you. All right. So these are the principles of spiritual warfare for us. Putting off the works of night and putting on the light, put on Jesus. Following and obeying civil authority is really a must. And I have to say that my younger days, all the problems and the life, such a turmoil that I live, is because of my relationship with authority. Because I thought I was my own man. I thought I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Yeah, that's served me well. Because I lived on the street. We need to really think about this, because our own minds, and being an American, and our culture, and we have, a lot of us have a problem with authority, a lot of us problem with the power over us. But when you, and Bible is teaching us, pay the taxes. And some Christian churches said, no, you shouldn't pay taxes. No, you should pay taxes. You should submit to the authority. You should do what the law says. Follow the law. It says 60 miles an hour, don't go 70 or 80. You know? Don't go 70 or 80. So, you know, we need to understand, we need to have a healthy relationship with the authority. Yeah, now we go back, we come back to the chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 here. And putting on Jesus Christ and no provision of the flesh, and it's really important for us to really understand this, really understand, and our new life needs to be different than our old one. Amen. Our giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, meaning you don't have any more agendas for yourself. If you're sacrifice, and if you say, Lord Jesus, you're my Savior and what? Lord. That's a good word. Lord. If you are the Lord over me, then you can tell me what to do. Right? Isn't that what Lord is? Lord is somebody over you, somebody over us, right? Then we can have a healthy attitude of dealing with the authority. And spiritual warfare is all about authority. When you understand that, when you fully submit to God's authority, when you fully submit to delegated authority, when your pastor says, go ahead, bless them. And you got all the power in the delegated. You have a God's authority there. You can regard it. You know what Caleb said? Caleb said before when he goes to Promised Land, right? And he said, when God told me through the servant Moses, said, wherever your feet trampled on, I will give you that land. He said he held that word for 45 years. And he says, give me this mountain. He was 85, right? I can do this because he promised. He held on to the older words what Moses spoke to them and as if God spoke to him himself. So that's clearly acknowledging and receiving authority, delegated authority over his life. And God blessed that. God bless that. So we can do the same thing. Spiritual warfare is really the same thing. Understanding authority is that you have authority over Satan. You believe that? You don't believe that? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Satan don't have authority over you. You believe that? Let me say it like this. Sickness don't have authority over you. Amen. Your strife, your sadness, things in your life don't have authority over you. When you understand that authority, when you understand and recognize God's authority over your life, command it in Jesus' name. Command it and believe it, and it will happen to you. Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, and I will perform it. So says Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. We are out of time, but I would thank you for the words and thank you for the privilege of speaking through these passages. Lord, I pray what I said, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that these passages will speak to all of us directly, that we will have genuine love. We will abhor what is evil. Lord, I hate sin. I love good. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not pay vengeance ourselves. We are listening to you, Lord. You said, vengeance is mine, and we obey. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in our lives, Lord, just fill us with your mind and your thoughts and your encouragement that we will follow your footstep. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the victory. And thank you for the authority in Christ. Thank you for the fact that that you overcame the world and we are following you, Lord. Thank you for the victory we already have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.